From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Total Transformation, part of a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verse 9, in which the Apostle Paul shows how a person may know that he truly belongs to Christ. It reveals that salvation is the work of the triune God. Indeed, it contains references to all three persons of the Holy Trinity, and each has a role in the salvation of a soul. We've seen that this work of God produces a glorious deliverance for God's people, freeing the repentant sinner from a state of condemnation and alienation, and bringing him into a standing of acceptance before God. Salvation means that a formerly lost sinner is now in Christ. He is truly part of the body of Christ, which is the church. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 6. His ways are everlasting. What he hath done at one time, he will do yet again. Man's ways are variable, but God's ways are everlasting. There are many reasons for this most comforting truth. Among them are the following. The Lord's ways are the result of wise deliberation. He ordereth all things according to the counsel of his own will. Human action is frequently the hasty result of passion or fear, and is followed by regret and alteration. But nothing can take the Almighty by surprise, or happen otherwise than he has foreseen. His ways are the outgrowth of an immutable character, and in them the fixed and settled attributes of God are clearly to be seen. Unless the Eternal One himself can undergo change, his ways, which are himself in action, must remain forever the same. Is he eternally just, gracious, faithful, wise, tender? Then his ways must ever be distinguished for the same excellences. Beings act according to their nature. When those natures change, their conduct varies also. But since God cannot know the shadow of a turning, his ways will abide everlastingly the same. Moreover, there is no reason from without which could reverse the divine ways, since they are the embodiment of irresistible might. The earth is said by the prophet to be cleft with rivers, mountains tremble, the deep lifts up its hands, and sun and moon stand still when Jehovah marches forth for the salvation of his people. Who can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? But it is not might alone which gives stability. God's ways are the manifestation of the eternal principles of right, and therefore can never pass away. Wrong breeds decay and involves ruin, but the true and the good have about them a vitality which ages cannot diminish. This morning, let us go to our Heavenly Father with confidence, remembering that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in Him the Lord is ever gracious to His people.
God of mercy, love and truth.
Have you ever wondered what the message of each New Testament book really is? Not just the meaning of a phrase, a text, or even a chapter, but the central message of the entire book? If so, we're happy to offer you the opportunity to obtain a means of doing just that. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached a series of messages in which he explained the teaching of each of the New Testament books. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. A Sure Foundation tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has recently obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're now making them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. To reserve a copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Request your copy of A Sure Foundation today.
You see, according to Hebrews 2:17, Christ came to reconcile his people to God. This is why he came. This is why he became a man. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. What does the high priest do? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's why he came. And he didn't fail, because by his death he did secure that reconciliation. I love how Paul puts it in Colossians 1. If you read from verse 20 to 22, you read that the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace. Understand that. That's not speaking of a sense of serenity in your soul. That comes down the line. This is not saying Christ produces a sense of serenity. He does, and he will. But what this is talking about is peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, being or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. He has made peace with God for us. The war's over. The long war against God by your soul, it's over. That's what he's telling you. He goes on to say, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He succeeded in reconciling us to God. And there's no other way to be reconciled to God, because Ephesians 2:16 says that he might reconcile both, that is, Jews and Gentiles, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There is no other way but by the blood of Jesus Christ, whereby either Jew or Gentile can be reconciled with God. Now that's a very serious statement, and that's something that Paul is going to come back to when we get to the end of this text. But understand this. Apart from the atoning death of Christ, apart from the application by the Holy Spirit of the merits of the blood of Christ, you cannot be reconciled to God. You cannot be reconciled to God by emulating this so-called spirit of Christ, this living by the characteristics of Christ. You cannot be reconciled to God by seeking to follow the example of Jesus. You cannot be reconciled to God by trying to live out the principles of the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot be reconciled to God by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You cannot be reconciled to God by anything but the blood of Christ's atonement. So the Holy Spirit now, as the, if I could say it, the executor of the Trinity, the one who applies the divine work, the work of the triune God, he deals with the condemnation. He deals with the alienation. And thank God he replaces the domination of sin by the indwelling of the Spirit and the reign of grace within the soul. When the Holy Spirit comes to abide within a man, he becomes the controlling principle and power in that man's life. This is how Paul put it to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now Paul makes application of that immediately. You read the Old Testament. How scathing were the messages of the prophets of old when wicked kings polluted the temple of God. When they brought in idolatry. When they polluted it with filthiness and immorality. God sent prophets with messages of fury that they would so pollute his temple. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and they were just saved out of heathenism. You've got to understand, and this is no apology for the wickedness of some people in Corinth. It was only some people, because Corinth was a church that was gifted above most, if you read the whole context. But Paul was writing to some people in Corinth who had just come out of heathenism. Now, in those heathen religions, religion and immorality went hand in hand. In fact, there were temple prostitutes. There were sodomites who were always to be found around the temple. Wickedness and religion went hand in hand. Paul's arguing now, you're Christians. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Your body is the temple in which the Holy Spirit of God resides. Will you pollute the holy temple of God with the filth of idolatry? Will you pollute it with the wickedness of immorality? Will you take the stinking things of this world and bring them into the temple of God? No, no, no. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who dwells within you. In Ephesians 2:22, he says, in Christ, you're also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God dwells in and with his people. Now, Christians are not yet sinless. They want to be. Anybody who wouldn't choose to be completely like Christ, I don't think is a Christian at all. Christian wants to be sinless. But he's not. He's still in the body. And the redemption of the body awaits the coming of Christ. But there's a big difference. How often we have quoted the words of John Newton, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's where the Christian stands. I'm not what I used to be. I used to be in Adam, consumed by the mind of the flesh. My minder was the flesh. That which controlled me was the flesh. Now he's saying you're in the Spirit. That which controls you is the Holy Spirit. Christians now have a conscience of things that before they had no conscience about. I can well remember a friend of mine who was, before he was saved, he couldn't have spoken one sentence without a string of curse words. He didn't even know he was doing it. Half the time at least. Just came out of him. Soon as he got saved, I remember him telling me, he said, God not only washed my heart, he washed my mouth. And he was acutely aware of every word that was coming out. And if there was the slightest semblance of something that was wicked or unclean or what was unworthy of a Christian, he was immediately smitten. Things that before had come out without a thought in the world, they were the natural expression of the inward man. They were now an abomination to him. It's just a very simple illustration of what the Lord does with his people. What the Lord does. Grace reigns. Christians have a conscience about things that before they used to embrace with love. Sin is the intruder. Sin is the usurper. But the one on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. He dwells within by his Spirit. John Bunyan and his wonderful work, The Holy War, speaks of man's soul. And I want you to get the picture of the difference between the saved and the unsaved. The man is in the flesh. He's after the flesh. He's still in Adam. The standard of self and sin and Satan flies over man's soul. But once the great captain of our salvation comes in, he raises his standard. There's a new flag flying over man's soul. And it tells the world, and it tells heaven, and it tells hell, under new management, under new control, all the attacks of the devil and of the flesh still come. And sin will hurl its fiery darts. But there's a new controller there. There's a new mind in charge. He replaces the domination of sin with the indwelling Spirit and the reign of sovereign grace. So salvation then is a divine work of the Holy Trinity. It's a work that produces a glorious deliverance for God's people. And the proof of this saving work of transforming grace in any man, the proof that it belongs to you or me, is the active presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Apart from which, no man can claim any saving interest in Christ at all. Look at the end of the text. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Do you see how the text begins and it ends with an if? You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The first if is a word of inclusion. The second if is a word of exclusion. The first if says, if you're indwelt by the Spirit, then you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If the Spirit is in you, then you are what's called in the Spirit. If Christ is in you, you are in Christ, united to Him. How do you know that you're in Christ? We were singing tonight, Christ liveth in me. The proof of the saving personal interest in Jesus Christ is the fact that His Spirit abides and controls. Now He says, if you're not indwelt by the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. Now, that's a serious thing. If any man, that means the preacher. It means the hearer. If any man does not have the indwelling Spirit of God, the flag of divine rulership does not fly over man's soul, you do not belong to Christ. You may belong to the church, but you do not belong to Christ. That's what he's saying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.